Hi, I'm Chris Kepler, and welcome to Does This Happen to You? I'm an actor, voice actor, audiobook narrator, and writer. I love telling and sharing stories about the strange experiences my friends and I have while doing mundane things like grocery shopping. That's why this podcast features funny stories from fantastic writers about our daily anomalies, a micro audiobook about life and befuddlement just for you. Our story this week is from Daniel Williams, who you'll find on Medium.com. And here is, I couldn't believe what came out of her pants. I was forced to play piano as a child. Then one day my mother said, you don't have to keep doing this if you don't want to. It's up to you. So I got up immediately and walked away from the piano, right in the middle of a song. Screw Elise. But before this, and for years, I had to play. My teacher was Mrs. Clifford. I thought about her the way all kids think about their teachers. She wasn't alive when I wasn't around. Because of this, Mrs. Clifford's house seemed strange to me. It looked curiously like a house lived in by someone who was alive all the time. It had arts and plants and carpets, and someone obviously vacuumed. So maybe when Mrs. Clifford died after each time I left, living people arrived and took care of the place, giving it a lived-in look. I imagine them as respectful people. They hushed themselves in the room where she lay face down, dead, waiting for me to come back so she could live again. When we had recitals at her house, I got to meet all the other freaks she lived for. Kids with names like Victor, Harriet, and Wendell. Like Mrs. Clifford, these children wore clothing from the 40s and were dead most of the time, waiting for another encounter with me. I imagine them lying in perfectly preserved bedrooms and their eyes suddenly snapping open with a plastic click on recital day. To fit everyone in her house, Mrs. Clifford created a seating area. Rows of creaky horsehair chairs faced the piano, which stood at the far end of the room, back to the wall, baring its teeth. Victor, Harriet, and Wendell played snobby songs while I boiled in the hell of waiting my turn. Then I played a snobby song, went back to my chair, and collapsed into beautiful relief. After we were done, Mrs. Clifford always took us kids into a parlor where we ate lemon squares and played music-themed board games. This way our parents, forced to mingle, could take their own turns in hell. I remember the game we played that day. The board was black and white from the piano keys painted all over it. There were little pieces you were supposed to move around the board. They were shaped like notes. You could be the whole note or the half note or the treble clef. I wanted to be the staccato because someone told me it meant violence. There was this little girl sitting next to me on the floor. She was the sister of one of the pianists. She had big eyes and black hair and wore green pants and a sweater that was striped like Neapolitan ice cream, brown, pink, and white. It was tucked in all the way round, forcefully, as if this tuck had been done by the flat, loveless hands of a machine. We were having as much fun as possible. Our fun made only as much noise as the dice's muffled rattlings in our fists and the hiss of pieces sliding around the board. It was time for the girl in green to roll, and she lunged for the dice in such a way that her ice cream sweater untucked from her pants. And I saw something. It was difficult not to see because the thing popped right out. The opening between her pants and the sweater was its only hope of escape, its doorway, and it emerged with zest. I told my parents on the ride home what I'd seen. It was like a skin tube, I said. A what? My father asked. Like a long tube of skin. A penis? Sort of, but like a rope, a tube thing. That's the only way I could describe it. A flesh-colored tube of skin about a foot long. It came out of her pants and flopped onto her folded legs. Her reaction was interesting. As if the skin tube's exposure was a normal thing that happened, like hair getting in your face or shoes coming untied, she just grabbed onto it casually and tucked the thing back into her pants. Then she pulled her sweater down and rolled the dice. She got an 11 and pumped her fist and whispered, "Yes!" I looked at Mrs. Clifford and the other kids for their reaction, but their faces seemed normal. I didn't see the signs of wonder I expected. Either they hadn't seen, or they all had foot-long ropes of flesh filling their pants. I still don't know what it was. Maybe it was part of a colostomy bag. Maybe it was a retained umbilical cord used as a straw and trained to play simple songs on the piano. Whatever it was the little girl played on, she didn't get all bent out of shape after her big reveal. She just tucked it away like shooing a fly and then beat the pants off the rest of us and went home, happy, I believe, glowing in the light of her win. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the story, let me know and share it with your friends. Follow me at ChrisKKArya on Twitter or Chris K. Kepler on Facebook, or check out my website, www.chriskepler.com.